everybody, and welcome to the Frontside Podcast, episode 52. We're coming to you live from Frontside HQ, where we can help you zero in that precise experience that you want for your users. So if that's something that you're interested in, go ahead and reach out to us at frontside.io. Today, actually, we've got a pretty large panel today. It's a hardcore Austin posse, Lydia Guarino, Shannon Byrne, and Stephanie Riera. And we're going to be talking about kind of a passion project of theirs called Emberitas. We're going to be digging deep into it. But before we get into that, I want to introduce everybody. Lydia is a product engineer at data.world, which is a social network for your data. It's actually a really cool startup where you can go and you can upload your data and you can see other public data sets and slice and dice them. It's really cool. Shannon, who has been a developer since 2013, has been kind of in the startup scene and been ubiquitous, and certainly in the circles that we've run in here in Austin. And so her latest gig has been as a cold school instructor, teaching JavaScript and Ruby on the full stack. And of course, you've heard Stephanie on the podcast many times. She's a developer here at the Frontside. So without further ado, let's talk about Emberitas. Now, what exactly is Emberitas and how did it get started?
Emberitas is a one-day, two-track workshop for teaching Ember to women. Last year, maybe March, we were at an Ember ATX meetup, and Brandon and Charles were talking about how to get more diversity into the Ember meetup. And then, of course, Lydia and Stephanie and I, as sort of the token ladies of Ember ATX, kind of huddled in a circle, and we talked about how other communities in Austin were doing things. And of course, there's Rails Girls, which is a one-day workshop to teach girls programming through a little bit of Rails. And we were like, why not do the same thing with Ember? And so after that, we just kind of picked up on everything, split up a lot of the work, decided we were going to do it, and made it happen. And we hosted our own one-day workshop for teaching women who had no knowledge of coding some of the basics of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript through Ember, and then taught other women in town who maybe were using Angular or had some experience with Rails or whatever, but didn't know what Ember was, the basics of Ember, so that they could then take that back to their companies and make more Ember jobs for all of us.
So, like, as someone who's worked on trainings before and, you know, tried to develop them, how challenging was it to develop a curriculum for women of, as you described, literally all, you know, all spectra of experience with development? That sounds like a difficult task. And I'm curious, kind of, you know, what considerations did you take in when you were developing this curriculum and what did it encompass?
So one of the things that we did to make that a little easier on ourselves is we split the workshop into two tracks. So we had a beginner track, and then we also had an intermediate track. And Shannon ran with the intermediate track, and I ran with the beginner track, with an understanding that for beginners, there's a lot more discussion about some of the basics of web development in general, or how you think of a project, and how you start with the basic building blocks of HTML and CSS and then grow into building an application. So for the beginner course, what I wanted to focus on was taking those basic building blocks and showing how they can be converted into an application. So we actually started with making static web pages and then converted those gradually in pieces into an Ember application. And Ember actually makes that pretty straightforward to do because there's such strong conventions that there's obvious places to put all of that information. So we built everything in HTML and CSS, and then we came back and layered on Ember on top of that. But the project was the same in both scenarios. And I'll let Shannon talk a little bit about how she approached the more advanced course.
So for the intermediate course, one of the challenges was that it was very open as to what that would mean, right? It wasn't intermediate Ember. It was an introduction to Ember for anyone who considered themselves a developer, right? And so we had some people who come in and they had a little bit of JavaScript experience. And then we had some people who were already like full stack JavaScript developers. And then some people who had experience with like an MVC framework. So people were kind of coming from all over the place was my expectation. And so it was kind of difficult to approach that, to be honest. Like I wasn't really sure what to do. And I had a lot of false starts, as I'm sure most people do who kind of create tutorials. And, now that I'm working on curriculum for a code school, the same thing happens. And there's definitely a lot of like after the fact being like, duh, now I know I should have done it this way. But the way that I approached it was really just a result of conversations that Lydia and I have been having for years, which is how there's sort of some unique differences on what we've seen for how women kind of communicate and learn a little bit differently, especially when there are classes and experiences catered just to them. So I just kind of went off of that and said, okay, how do I like to learn? And then kind of applied that to how I developed the curriculum. So it was a lot of, well, you might think we could do this, but actually, let's try it. That doesn't work. Let's try this. And so you go through it and it's kind of like, you know, a lot of false starts, a lot of learning together, a lot of like having these tiny little frustrations that you normally have when you're coding and then achieving something together. And so the ultimate goal of both the beginner curriculum and the intermediate curriculum was not to teach everybody everything about Ember in one day, but to give them the confidence that they could go out and do whatever they wanted with Ember or just explore more about development in general after that workshop.
And I'm actually curious, Shannon, if you can, you know, unpack that a little bit more. You said there was, you know, challenges and things that you took into account in developing this curriculum that was specifically for an all-woman studentship. Can you elaborate on that? Like, what were some of the concrete things that you made that you custom tailored?
To be completely honest, there weren't a whole lot of things that I could really custom tailor. It was more just thinking about the things that I had witnessed in terms of working with women specifically, and seriously, as a result of like conversations that I've had with Lydia, trying to be much more conversational, trying to allow the questions that generally arose sort of drive what we did instead of being very rigid about how we did it and the approach that I thought was going to work, and generally just kind of being like quick on my feet and allowing the course to go at the pace that it should go, right? And not trying to force anything. And really mostly trying to read the room and understand that we might not get through everything in one day.
Yeah. I mean, from the very beginning, like from the very conception of this idea, we wanted to build something by women for women. And so it was really important that we chose female instructors, which is one of the reasons that Shannon and I, you know, volunteered to be the instructors ourselves when maybe we would have wanted to seek someone else to take that piece of it. But, you know, this is something that we were personally passionate about and we knew how we learned Ember and how we could translate that into something that would be accessible to the broader community of women in Austin. So we did some targeting with specific groups in Austin that were women-driven. So Women Who Code has a big following in Austin, and we reached out to that community. And we made sure that all of the sessions were, like Shannon mentioned, collaborative. So for instance, in the beginner course, everyone worked as partners. So you weren't just sitting there by yourself, isolated with your own level of knowledge. You had somebody to bounce ideas off of. You had somebody right next to you to ask, you know, kind of those little secretive questions where you're like a little embarrassed to raise your hand, but you need someone to like quick correct you. And I also made sure that when I was teaching the course itself, it was less lecture and more tutorial, which allowed me to walk around the room and actually speak to each individual pair about where they were in the process. So instead of losing people throughout the course because they had slipped behind, I knew where everybody was for the entire day. And while that slows down the overall speed for some of the faster people, it meant that we didn't have anybody, you know, take off at lunchtime, which is a problem for a lot of workshops, is somebody gets so far behind that they just give up. And that was something that we wanted to try really hard to avoid with this particular workshop.
Another thing that I want to say, if I can go back and fix my sort of bumbling before about what I specifically did, I thought about something I actually specifically did. In a lot of online tutorials, what I've found is that it'll tell you to do something, but it doesn't quite tell you why. And answering that why question is something that's always really important to me when I'm learning something new. So I added a lot of that into the tutorials that we did. So either out loud, I would explain it, or I would say, you know, for anyone who's interested, there's a link in the curriculum that'll tell you exactly what that is, you know, a much longer explanation of what a computed property is, why that works, and sort of even some of the internals in JavaScript, if people were curious in learning that, to answer that why question for attendees.
Yeah, no, the why is a question that unfortunately gets such short shrift in almost everything that we do. It's like shocking how much you see the absence of why. The other thing I wanted to ask too, Lydia, was, so you talked about, you know, making sure that everybody was paired up so that nobody got behind. Were you deliberate in kind of making sure? I mean, I know you say you had something like 40 students in the first one. So it can be difficult to kind of assess the skill level of each one. But, you know, were you able to be deliberate in those pairings and to kind of match people with a productive set of skills?
So I think that it's actually a little bit dangerous to have people label themselves before they get into a project. So instead of saying, hey, if you've had some experience here, maybe work with somebody that's never seen this before, I tried to avoid that. So I actually let them choose their partners. Well, or rather, I just assigned them based on where they were sitting in the room. And for any of the kind of gaps we had there, if I had one pair where like both people had way less experience than another group, we had an army of volunteers that were available to come and kind of like sit down next to one of the pairs and help them work through the pieces. And I think that that's one of the major things that helped the day running, like run smoothly, because instead of having to have me come over and help them over and over again, we had somebody that could kind of more quietly come over and sit down and work through the tougher pieces, or if someone got stuck on a bug, help them untangle it.
I think that's fantastic, because having participated in running trainings before, I know that's one of the biggest challenges of keeping everybody together is, you know, and moving forward in unison is making sure that everyone can do things like do an NPM install. Like, you know, I had an entire training derailed because one person, like, we just could not figure out how to do it. And it was basically just Brandon and I. And yeah, it was terrible. I guess the question is, how many volunteers did it take to make that go smoothly? And then I guess the follow-on question is, you know, do you think that's indicative of kind of the Ember community at large, that you were able, you know, when you guys proposed this event, that you were able to really draw on this large pool of, you know, ready volunteers to show up?
Yeah, the volunteers were actually a strategic move that Shannon and I spoke about early on, which was that part of what we wanted to do was show how welcoming and how supportive the Ember community in Austin is. And so most of the volunteers that we had on hand were actually members of Ember ATX that were interested, you know, in increasing diversity as well. So these were people that they could meet in advance, and people that would encourage them to come back to a meetup, you know, next month or whatever. And you could see, hey, these are like really approachable, fantastic people, and they're ready to help, and they're excited about having you join our community. And to keep it running smoothly, to answer that question, so each class had we were kind of split 50-50. I think Shannon's had a little bit more people in it than mine, but I ended up having close to 20 people. So I had 10 pairs. So I actually had almost as many volunteers as I had pairs. So we had some drifters floating between the two classes, but at any given time, I had at least five people running around the room in addition to myself. So that's a lot of volunteers to coordinate, but we actually had like a lot of support from Ember ATX and from people that really wanted to help out.
Yeah, and it's a huge ask to ask, you know, 10, 15 people to come out for the whole day on a Saturday, right? Even for attendees, that's a lot to ask people to do. And to have so many people from, you know, the Ember community in Austin come out and do that, I don't think, maybe there was one volunteer, Lydia's husband, who didn't know any Ember, but everyone else was from the Ember community and either did Ember professionally or as a hobby. So it worked out really well like that. And I was really glad to see that, because the whole reason that I do Ember is because of the people that I've met at the Ember meetup, and I keep going back, and that warmth that I feel about the Ember community is kind of why I feel so great about doing Ember, and why I choose to do Ember professionally is because that feeling that I have kind of like follows me around while I code in Ember, which is kind of silly, but
I don't think it's silly at all. I think that's so much of the pervading narrative is that technology is about technology, when in fact it's about people and community. And I think it's great that kind of almost as a, just by virtue of, you know, holding the event and having those volunteers, what you're giving them is, you know, not just a set of tools, but also you're kind of giving them in no like small part, you know, that being the benefit of it is like giving them this community.
Yeah. And what was really excellent too, and I think what made us be able to kind of coordinate with the volunteers really well, is that Lydia and I were running the classes, but Steph was really in charge of coordinating the day and making sure that things ran smoothly and making sure that the volunteers knew where they needed to be and where they could be most helpful. Because a challenge was that we actually were in two different spaces. We were able to get space donated to us by the Iron Yard, but the Iron Yard campus in Austin is actually like, there's kind of a field between their two locations where the classrooms are and where their main space was. And so what kind of happened was that without Steph kind of like wrangling the volunteers into the right place, the volunteers were kind of forgetting that there was like this second intermediate location to come to. And so I'm so thankful that she was able to be there and just be focused on coordinating the day of type stuff to make sure that everything ran smoothly.
Thank you, Shannon. That's so sweet. I did want to make a quick mention about the volunteers. I feel like, especially in our industry, we hear a lot about the quote unquote brogrammer, and like we give a lot of slack to men, particularly white men in the tech industry. I think it's very important to highlight, I think most of the volunteers that we had were all men. And it's these men that are spending their Saturday there to coach and teach women. I think it's a very beautiful thing to see, because a lot of these women, I think they are intimidated by going to meetups and going to hackathons because they feel like it's not an inclusive environment and they can't ask questions in a room full of guys. And I think that's indicative of, that's not always the case. Yes, there might be a problem in the tech industry, but there are also people that care, and you can see that through the volunteers.
Yeah, it's no lie that the three of us were really the only girls at Ember ATX until we put Emberitas on. So we didn't have a large pool of experienced, you know, not even experienced Ember developers, but even people who had just sat down to try out Ember in Austin who were female to pull from. And so that was always the goal too, was to make this so that we could have this to be able to diversify Ember ATX in one way by bringing more women in, but also just to make the community stronger overall. And yeah, I'll say again, like the Ember community is far and above the best programming community in Austin. And I wanted to make sure that every other girl at least had the opportunity to know why I rave about Ember meetups and the Ember community and everything about Ember. And that doesn't just go for Austin, obviously. And to shout out as well to Leah, who already does so much with like women helping women in Austin, but Tilda actually donated a bunch of extra swag to us from the Ember Comp from last year, Ember Comp 2016. So that saved us a ton of money that we got to use towards other stuff. And then saving money on that meant we got to do a happy hour after that we also invited sponsors and the rest of the community too, right? So we had a bunch of Ember community members who weren't able to spend the day with us volunteering, but they still came out and had a couple free drinks and got to chat with all the attendees as well. So overall, the whole day was really fun and full of Ember community members.
Personally, I'm so sad that I missed it. I was like out of the country, although it was on my birthday. So it was like a good birthday present to know that that was like going on in my community back home. I actually, so, you know, having not been to so many Ember meetups since, have you all noticed, and I guess this is really just kind of a question for the floor, have you noticed, you know, real traction, like an uptick in the number of women in attendance and kind of an increase in that level of interest from women in the community at large?
So the meetup right afterwards had a pretty major uptick, because a lot of the people that had come in through Women Who Code and are already kind of avid meetup goers took a chance and came to the meetup. And I've seen several of them come to, you know, a couple of the other ones throughout the year. There's at least two people that I've seen repeat show up a bunch of times. And when you've got a meetup of about 40 people, and even if you just increase it by two more, that's like actually moving the needle pretty significantly. And I mean, the trick about increasing diversity that's a little bit of a chicken and the egg problem, right, is that the best way to get women to attend is to have women attend. And so you want to have some women in the room when other women come for the first time, because then it becomes a welcoming environment. And you can start kind of this snowball effect of, okay, I'm welcome here. Like, I see that this person is comfortable in this setting. That means that I'm going to have an easy time, you know, integrating here as well.
Yeah, the timing in terms of, so if we were to do this again, actually, one thing I'd improve is to make sure that all three of us could be at the upcoming Ember meetup, and that we plan to do it like the week before the Ember meetup, right? And so that energy is high and all that kind of stuff. But I think that there was something that prevented, I think, maybe each of the three of us from maybe even being at that next Ember meetup, which really was not a good idea. Maybe one of the three of us was there. So that's something that I'd like to improve upon, is being more strategic about fulfilling on that goal. And then another thing that I'd like to do as well, like, we have a Women Who Code Slack channel here in Austin, and we have an Emberitas room now. And, you know, we do actually chat on there. And I'd like to incorporate that into what we do as well, as having a community for the women who met there to continue speaking online, and so that we can like develop that community, and I can post in there and say, oh, there's an Ember meetup tonight, let's all go. But I know a lot of them, I think a lot of them went to like an event together that I didn't even know about. When Yehuda was in town, I think like a handful of people talked about going to that, and they met up through the Women Who Code Ember room. So that's cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I actually think this is a good opportunity to plug something that I learned about through Amelie, who's Alex's girlfriend, is the We Speak Too. Because I think another good way, you talked about that catch 22, that chicken and the egg of the best way to have women attend. I also think the best way to have women attend is to have women speak, and to see that in terms of the leadership, there's representation there. And so there's a tool that I just found out about that I think is really cool that helps kind of solve that catch 22 or lower the friction. If you are a meetup organizer, you can go and you can find, there's a list of women in Austin. It's only in DC and Austin, but there's, you know, coupled with an analysis of the ratios of female, male, and non-binary speakers in Austin, there's a sign-up sheet where you can go if you're a woman or you're non-binary, and you can sign up there, and you can list your levels of expertise. And if you're a meetup organizer and you're looking, you know, a lot of you hear a lot of people say, well, where do I find someone to come speak at my meetup? And so that tool like exists now, at least for Austin. So if you go to wespeak2.org/Austin, there it is. And I hope, you know, certainly I hope the three of you guys are on that list if you're not already, because I've seen each one of you speak, and, you know, there's a lot to share there with the community. And so if you're listening too, I think it's also a good resource if you're in the DC area or in the Austin area, or if you want to bring it to your own city. So anyway, I just wanted to share that as a what I thought was a cool tool.
Oh yeah, and to plug another list too, I'll have to get the URL. I don't know it off the top of my head, but Leah for Women Helping Women put together a list of female Ember speakers to make that available to all the Ember meetups. But even if you're not an Ember person, I mean, these are a list of really great speakers, some who spoke at EmberConf last year, other people who put in their proposals, and then other people who are just like interested in speaking locally. So she has that list somewhere, and I'll try and find the link to it.
I will definitely look for that. And the other thing that I wanted to talk about before we moved on was, you know, we've talked about how you paired people up. You talked about what, like, a, you know, kind of a tight knit community you created, and they were going not just Ember meetups kind of as a group, but also the bonds that were formed, you know, were maintained as they went to other meetups. Like, when we were talking about this prior to the podcast, you mentioned some of the like the icebreaking exercises that you did, but you didn't give any specifics. You didn't give any details. I want to hear about this, and I want to hear what the best ones were, because, like, I'm so curious. Again, I'll just throw this question out of the floor. Like, what was that you did to like kind of break that ice? And what were the best results that you saw?
So the icebreaker was actually a little bit of a happy accident. We had budgeted time for an icebreaker at the beginning, and it was, you know, something that kept slipping down the priority list until the morning of. And on the morning of, we had discussed some different brainstorming ideas beforehand, but we hadn't like settled on anything. And then the morning of, we were like, you know what we should do is we should have them as a group, like, act out programming terms or programming concepts. So like as a group, they had to decide on a way to explain some programming concept, like a while loop or, you know, HTTP or something like that. They had to describe that physically.
Or also we used HTML too, which was a hard one.
Like, did you just write them on cards and like hand them out to people?
Yes. I literally was scribbling a list as people were walking in of like terms that we thought would probably like possibly work. And then, we split them up into groups and passed them out. And I have to say, like, people came up with the most creative things. It went so much better than I would have ever dreamed.
Is any of this on video? Like, what was the best one?
Oh, I have the while loop dance. I think it's posted on the Emberita's Instagram page that you can all go check out. It was so funny. It was like they all went up there and like while one of them was clapping, all the rest of them had to dance. And then when she stopped clapping, they'd stop dancing. And so it was really straightforward, but it was just hilarious. And sort of the big personalities of some of the extroverts in the room were given their chance to shine there in the morning. And I was laughing so hard. It went a lot better than I think we expected it to, since we had done zero preparation.
That said, Shannon put together a fantastic survey at the end so that we could kind of, you know, gather feedback on how to make this better in the future. And we had several comments about the icebreakers themselves. And one of the things that we might want to tweak in the future is exactly how we let different people participate in that activity, because some people that were a little bit more reserved, a little bit shyer, like starting out the day with basically public speaking or a performance was a little bit rough. Now, I'm going to argue that when you push somebody out of their comfort zone as soon as they show up for the day, everything else is going to be gravy, because they've already stepped outside of their comfort zone and they've already done, you know, the thing that's going to pull them out of their shell and be able to talk to other people in the room.
Right. I mean, the point of those things is vulnerability and to make it safe to be vulnerable. And so as someone who is definitely in someone who will like walks around into these like groups as a shell, I definitely see the value in that.
The other thing too is one of the positive things about an icebreaker like this is like you could kind of take a back seat or kind of be the coach off to the side. So we didn't require everyone to say something out loud either. So there are positives and negatives. And I think that was like an overall learning thing about doing this is, for me, I definitely am a perfectionist and I want everything to go perfectly and I want everything to be exactly my way. And it was learning that like, no matter how well something goes, you can't please everyone 100%. And getting the feedback on the surveys and just seeing how for some people, the icebreaker was their favorite part of the day. For other people, it was their least favorite part. Some people wanted more workshop time. Other people wanted way less workshop time and to focus more on community building and this and that. And so we can't please everyone, but we really pulled off something really cool that I think made a lot of the stakeholders very happy.
Yeah, no, definitely. Which kind of goes right into my next question, which I'm going to ask to all of you is, you know, what do you feel are kind of like the key things that you learned from this, you know, based on the survey, based on your experience, based on conversations with the participants and observations? Later on, what was it that you feel like was kind of your biggest takeaway? Why don't we start with you, Lydia?
For me, the biggest takeaway was that it really makes such an enormous impact for women to see other women speaking and women putting these types of workshops and things on for other women. That was the one thing that stood out to me the most in the feedback, was that people were just so excited to see someone relatable up in front of them giving these presentations, and that like having the opportunity to see a room full of women that were interested in the same things that they were interested in was incredibly inspiring and, you know, encouraged them to kind of go out on a limb and try something that they hadn't tried before and follow up in the future with more meetups and things like that, which was precisely the goal, right? Like, I feel like our primary goal was to get women to feel like this was an accessible community. And I feel like that was where we excelled the most.
How about you, Stephanie?
Yeah, I wanted to piggyback off of what she just talked about, because I myself, we just touched on something which was earlier, and it was about the feeling of being uncomfortable. And something, it's no secret that, and I said it there, I hate public speaking. Absolutely hate it. It terrifies me. I hate doing podcasts. I hate doing all kinds of speaking. But I realize how important it is. And then as Shannon was saying, like, you can plan and you want to try as hard as you can to make everything go as smoothly and perfect as possible. But sometimes things will happen. And I remember at one point of the day, she came up to me and asked me a favor and was like, hey, you know, she had been emceeing all day. And she asked, do you mind doing the middle part? And I think it was like talking about Ember ATX and why it was important to do this workshop and all of that. So I was caught completely like unprepared, and you know, I like was very hesitant. But in that moment, I thought to myself, well, we are choosing to be leaders in the community. We are choosing to put ourselves out there and do something for the greater good. You know, whatever, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to force myself to do it. And I think it went well. The first bit of it, I was very nervous and I just admitted it to everyone. But someone else came up to me afterwards and told me, I think it meant a lot to people to see someone just take something on and speak from their heart. And you can see that they're still nervous, but they're still doing it. And so that's the point I wanted to make, was like, yes, I'm uncomfortable with it, but it's the only way you can grow as an individual. And I also want to send a message through that, which is like, yes, we're all women, we're all badass, we all have this purpose that we want to achieve, and we're doing it, you know? So that was my biggest takeaway. So thank you, Shannon, for that unexpected request.
Yeah, that kind of came as a result of like, I was trying to MC and then teach, and I went up to Steph and she's like, I'm nervous. And I was like, look, I need to lay down. I've been talking all day. My brain is mush. And she did such a great job. And I was so happy that you did that. For me, I would say, you know, Lydia definitely covered all of the sort of philanthropic reasons that this was important and why it went so well and everything that was great. And for me, I think that I had been going through some stuff. Like sometimes I question like, you know, am I really good at what I'm doing? Am I doing the right thing? Can I accomplish this? You know, the sort of questioning that everybody has. And taking this on and sort of planning it from start to finish on our own, doing all the marketing, getting all the sponsorships, getting all the attendees, communicating with all the attendees, trying to pretend that we were kind of more official than we were. Like I was individually texting people to their numbers and it would be like, reply with stop if you no longer want these texts, just to make it to make it look like we were like something official, when really like I'm copy and pasting from one person to the next, and we're trying to get literally everything done, just the handful of us that were working on this. And it made me start thinking about like, you know, what do I really want to do? I had never truly considered teaching other people to code until this. And now I'm trying that out. And, you know, since then, through Emberitas, we've done another lecture series for high schoolers. We did a weekend workshop for high school girls. And honestly, it opened up something in me. And I was like, we need to be teaching high school aged kids to code, right? And I know that's something that a lot of organizations are trying to do, but I now have a very specific idea of how I want to approach that. And it really gave me a lot of confidence that I really needed at the time. I think that I threw myself so hard into doing Emberitas was because I needed something to really be passionate about at the time. And it gave back to me like everything that we put into it. And I was so fortunate for that. And just to watch everyone having such a good time and everyone learning something, and just like the look on someone's faces when they get something, and then the look on someone's face when they make something, is so cool. And that's just what I loved about this whole experience.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. So, which begs the question. So here we are in 2017, like what's next? Are there any, you know, further events that we can look forward to? Are there any like grand plans? I mean, you kind of alluded to some of that, doing more education for, you know, targeting a younger age group. What can we look forward to? Why don't we start with you, Shannon? Like, what can we look forward to in 2017?
So what you can look forward to in 2017 is me updating the website a little bit. It's still at the the typoed place it was at the very last day that, you know, before the workshop. So I need to update that so that people can get more information and contact us if they're interested, because I have had a lot of people reach out to me over Twitter, through our Facebook page, all that kind of stuff, asking when we're going to do this again and if we're going to do it in other cities than Austin. And what was really cool was all of our curriculum is open source. So we put that out there and we told on our Twitter that like people could check out our curriculum, whatever. And one morning we just started getting like ding, 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 all these GitHub pull requests from people in Seattle. And turned out that a code school in Seattle was using it as part of their curriculum. And so a couple of those girls reached out and were like, oh, we might be interested in hosting one of these in Seattle. And so hopefully doing something like that, that'd be really fun. And additionally, just kind of improving the curriculum, we need to sit down and, you know, kind of pluck out the best things about how we approach doing the beginner curriculum, the best things about how we approach doing the intermediate curriculum, and sort of entwine those together. So a lot of kind of behind the scenes work to get things in place, and then a lot of planning to put on the next one. And so the biggest thing that limits us from putting on more is like money. We need sponsors, and we kind of already hit up everybody who does Ember here in Austin. So we're going to have to expand our reach if we want to put on another one of these at the same quality that we did before.
So you heard it here. If you're interested in seeing this happen, by all means, reach out and send money.
Yeah.
Lots of money.
You can email me. You can email me, Shannon@emberitas.com, if you want to talk about any of those things, or hit up our Twitter or our Instagram. Yeah, there's ways to contact us if you're interested in helping us out in any way.
And it's also important to point out that a lot of those sponsors gave lightning talks.
Yes.
So you can have your plugs in there.
Oh, yeah. You can show up and have a captive audience for 5 minutes.
All righty. Well, so in closing, again, I want to kind of go around and ask, what was the number one? We talked about kind of mistakes that were made, things that were learned, like in terms of the number one kind of impactful thing that you feel like this event had and this kind of process has had, either for, you know, the external world or even for the internal world, like in, you know, affecting the way that you work day to day. Like, what has that been? Like, what has that been for you, Lydia?
My favorite part of the entire thing was that some of my best friends and I decided to build a thing that we cared about. And then we watched it grow into something amazing. And then we got to see the people that got to enjoy the beautiful thing that we built. And it was just one of those moments where you feel really proud about deciding to take a risk and deciding to kind of put yourself out there and do something that is outside of your comfort zone that makes it totally worthwhile. And you know, makes it so that you want to do it again and again and again. And I'm just really grateful that, you know, Shannon and Steph like thought this was a cool idea and just had to make it a real thing. Just had to make it come to fruition or whatever.
No, I was just thinking, as usual, Lydia says it best. That's exactly what was so great about it, was we did it together. It was great. We want to do it again. We want other people to do it. Like, there's something so like inherently rewarding about this experience. And it was just so much fun. And I'm so glad that I got to do it with the two of these guys.
Yeah, I think just kind of watching it from the sidelines, just the energy that it generated, I think it touched, you know, everybody who participated, who volunteered, and, you know, even people like me who just kind of watched it from the sidelines as part of the general community. And so I am really looking forward to what you guys are going to bring in the future. And, you know, I really hope that you don't allow it to just fall by the wayside and that there is some continuance of it. And I promise I will participate this time. but thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. It really was wonderful. Thank you all for coming by and sharing the story of Emberitas. You can find them on emberitas.com, or if you want to reach out directly over Twitter, it's iHeartEmberitas. Hopefully, we'll get to hear from you, and then we'll continue the discussion. And thanks again. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and thanks, you guys, for coming.
Thanks for having us.